Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your word tonight. We might be able to study. We might be able to let you talk to us. Tell us all the things that you have for us. We pray for wisdom and guidance, that we might be able to study it in such a way that we can understand it, and then that we can let it live in our lives, and that we can be an approved workman, so that we can bring honor and glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we ask it all in his precious name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. All right, if you would tonight, let's start by turning over to Acts chapter 28. And, well, I'll tell you what, let's don't do that. Let's start with the issue of what we're going to talk about, and we'll start with Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and we'll look at verse 46. If I'm on the right page in my notes. You know, some days you have those days when you're not sure what you're looking at. And I've had one of those days. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Now, what we're planning on doing tonight is this. We're going to ask a question. And there's two things that we wanted to do an overview on in the book of Acts to try to put together so that we could understand a couple of things that I feel is very important. Both of them are controversial issues. And maybe not so much controversial, but debatable issues, and one of them is why Jew first. You know, so many people today talk about the Apostle Paul's message was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, and several times we find that issue in the Word of God, but there's two or three different ways of looking at that. Why the Jew first and then the Gentile? Well, in Acts chapter 13 in verse 46, we have one of those verses where we kind of wonder about why Paul says this. But now remember that Luke is a writer, and Luke as a writer is dealing with the nation of Israel in their fall and so forth, and he's not trying to teach us in the book of Acts the Pauline doctrine. He doesn't mention the mystery at all. He does not teach any of the doctrines that the Apostle Paul gives us in his writings in Romans through Philemon. But it's a book of the fall of Israel, a transition away from the nation of Israel and into another program that's coming today, and probably the most understood of all things in the Bible. So many people never see it as a transition. They see it as a different thing altogether. They see it as the beginning of the church. And we don't see that. We see it exactly what writer Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2. It is a fulfillment of Joel. And Joel talks about the things that's going to happen in the last days. And so that's what we see it as, the last days of the nation of Israel. But why Jew first and then the Gentile? Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Apostle Paul is at Antioch. He's beginning his ministry. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, the Apostle Paul says here that it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, talking about the Jews. And so when he says that, why do you think that it's necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you? Well, if you understand prophecy and you understand God's program, you know that the nation of Israel was to be God's people on this earth. And God has a plan and a purpose for the earth as he originally created. He has a plan and purpose that he doesn't tell us anything about in prophecy until later on, but it's a plan and a purpose for the regaining of the heavens, taking back the heavens that have been put under the power today of Satan. And so when we start talking about the messages, you know, as they come, there's an order of the way things are laid out in the Bible. And there is a message that have first. And so we look at that. And what he's talking about here in Acts chapter 13, verses 46 and 47, is he's quoting a passage of Scripture, or he's going to quote a passage of Scripture in verse 47, if you look at that. And he says there, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. So he says, first, it's important that you understand that the message should have been spoken to you first. And then he goes back and quotes a passage of Scripture that says, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, when you go over in the book of Isaiah and you read that passage of Scripture, At first reading, you might say, well, that's talking about the nation of Israel there, but I want you to come back and look at that very carefully over in Isaiah chapter 42 and verses 6 and 7. And see exactly who is Isaiah talking about when he's talking about this light, but a twofold thing. He says, I the Lord, verse 6, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people. Number one now. I'm going to give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, the thee there, if you read the whole of chapter 42, is one of those things that God calls his chosen or his elect. And the elect that he's talking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and for a light of the Gentiles. At first you would think that he's talking about the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel is one of God's elect, of the five major elections of God in the Bible. But here it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to be the light. He's going to be the light that's going to give the strength for the covenant, and give everything that's necessary to the nation of Israel to become his people on this earth. And then it's through the nation of Israel that they're going to bless the Gentiles. We know that the nation of Israel is to be the source of blessings to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the source of all the blessings of the Gentiles is Israel, and yet it is the Lord Jesus Christ also. There's a twofold meaning to that. In Acts chapter 3, we'll read the passage of Scripture there where the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, or following the day of Pentecost, preaches that second message that he preaches, and he tells us something or another about the source of blessings and what the nation of Israel had been told and what they need to do. So it says in Acts chapter 3, we're going to read verses 22 through 26. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 22 down through verse 26. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ that God has raised up. He's that prophet that he's talking about, and was sent to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is to be saved, and they are to be that sort of fill that Abrahamic covenant where God says, I will bless them that bless thee, and so forth. So when we get to the issue then of the Jew first in Acts, we begin to say, well, why does Paul make the statements about the Jew first? Why is it necessary in the book of Acts for that? Well, remember again, the book of Acts is dealing with the first part of that equation, that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel to be their king, to set up the kingdom. And after that, then there are to be the blessing and fulfill the Great Commission and go into all the world. But I want you to notice, come back over now to Acts chapter 28 as we closed out and look at something I feel is important here, and that is kind of a time for this to happen. And when does the Apostle Paul make a distinction really between light of the Gentiles and when it's not the light to the Gentiles first, and the choice? When does something change that makes that different? Because all the way through the book of Acts, we've read this issue, and every commentary I've ever read practically always says that Paul's message was always to the Jew first. And then when you look at Acts chapter 28 and verse 28, where we're closing out like we did last week, it says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. So we ask the question, if Paul has been preaching to or his message has been to the Jew first all the way to this point. Is this the turning point? Is it at this point in time now where he's saying now that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles? And the answer to that question, I hope you understand, is no, I don't see that as a turning point. I know there are a lot of people who do today. They see a dispensational change there. And we're going to go through some verses and I'm going to show you why. Try to identify this issue of why the Jew first, the Gentile. Now, the first book that Paul writes is the book of Romans. And if you didn't have the book of Acts and you picked up the book of Romans and read it, you know, you'd really have a hard time trying to figure out what in the world's going on. And even when you read through the book of Acts and you open up the first chapter of the book of Romans, you begin to read some things that kind of makes you wonder if some of the folks that talk about the whole book of Acts, Paul preaches the kingdom gospel until Acts 28. Because Paul says some things like this. Look at it, Romans chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And then he says, "To the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So, what is Christ here? Is I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and it's the power of God. And you hear people quote that quite often. It's a powerful verse of Scripture, isn't it? But he says it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, if the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Jew first all the way through the book of Acts, as some teach, then according to that verse of Scripture, he's preaching to them the gospel of Christ. Well, what is the gospel of Christ? What is the gospel of Christ? You know, in Romans chapter 2, as the Apostle Paul begins to go back and recap how God has dealt with the Jew and the Gentile back there in time past, he makes some other statements about the Jew and the Gentile. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 9, he's talking about the issue of if you could do good enough and you could keep the law and all this kind of stuff, you know, you could be saved, but we know that's not possible. And so he goes into detail. But he says in verse 9, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile." So he seems to make it there that it's before the law, during the law, and after the law, that the Jew and the Gentile, if either one of them could, with the law or without the law, could do all those things, that they could have eternal life. But we know that that's not possible. He says in 10 and 11, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God." So no one is able to keep the law or do good enough in any way to be saved. It's just not possible, whether he's a Jew or a Gentile. So he's just using that and the idea that there is no such thing as a person being good enough to have all their sins forgiven and please God. But then he caps that off by, in verse 16, he says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." So we know that the Apostle Paul, as he writes the book of Romans, is going to go into great detail about how God is going to save people and how especially that program that was given to him by God for the Gentiles today plays such an important part in our life. And so Paul goes on in the book of Romans to explain that now there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Now, the reason I'm saying this, turn over to Romans chapter 10. The reason I'm saying this about over in Romans right now is because when the Apostle Paul gets to Rome, as we found out there in Acts 28, and Luke is finished up with the book of Acts, and he closes with this statement that we read in Acts 28:28. We know that Paul has already written the book of Romans. And those saints there in Rome have had this letter that Paul had written at least 3 years and maybe 4 years before he got there. And so they've had time to write that thing and copy it out several times and distribute it all around. And so a lot of people knows about the things that's in the book of Romans. So when Paul gets there, some Gentiles that are real happy about this, but some Jews that also know already, there's some things that's a little different. And so Paul here has written this, and he's made this statement, Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, as you know real well. But he says in these verses, he says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he's made that issue to the church there in Rome that there is no difference now between the Jew and the Gentile. So the question is when did the Apostle Paul start teaching that there was no difference, and did he indeed all during the book of Acts teach the kingdom gospel? Now, we've repeatedly told you we don't believe that he did. But in the book of Acts, it's clear from what we read there in Acts chapter 13 that Paul says it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. And so go to the Jew first. And if he does, why does he do it? Well, I know again in the commentaries that I've read over and over that it seems that Paul always goes into a new town, and the first place that he goes to is he goes into the synagogues. And so does that mean then that his message is to the Jew first? And the answer is no, it's not. So when Paul writes, or when Luke writes Acts 28:28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation is God is sent unto the Gentiles and they will hear it, obviously he's not talking about something that's taken place right now because of the condition that exists in Rome. Because you know, as we've concluded there, that Paul had this meeting with these Jews, and they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't believe the message. But Paul begins a great three-year period of time, or two-year period of time in there, when he has a great ministry there, and he writes several of those books to us. But change, and it's not at this point in time that God sends salvation to the Gentiles, because we know that he's already done that. So when does Paul, or does Paul always go to the Jew first with the idea that he's preaching a particular gospel to the Jew and another one to the Gentile? I want us to come back and look at three passages of Scripture right quick and look at where Paul goes and who really he's sent to. Acts chapter 9. We're going to run three or four verses right quick. Got a lot of verses we want to look at tonight, and they're verses we've already gone over. We're just going to go through them for the sake of getting that back into your mindset again. But when Paul gets saved on the Damascus Road and he's in Damascus, the first place that he goes is Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So we know that he did go to the Jew the first time that he preached. And he preached the message that is that Jesus Christ, what he declares. Now again, Luke is recording for the sake of the nation of Israel at this point in time. Come over to Acts chapter 13 again, and let's look at some of the other places where the Apostle Paul goes, and also some of the receptions that he gets from the different ones. Acts chapter 13 and verse 5. As Paul begins his first trip, and they sail past Cyprus, and in verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. So as he begins his ministry out of Antioch on his first trip, he goes to the synagogue of the Jews. Come up to verse in Acts chapter 13, come up to verse 14 and 15. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So again, when he gets into another place, the first place he goes is he goes into the synagogue. And you remember we went through some detail about synagogues. Synagogues are not temples. They are places sometimes crudely constructed in areas where there's just a few Jews, but they were really religious to build them a little place. Sometimes it might be a tent, but build them a place where they could have a little pulpit and they can set up for a man to have the word of God. And that was the Moses and the law and the writings back there of the prophets, the ones that they had. And they would have people seated all around, and they would have, every Sabbath day, they would have this get-together, and they would read the word of God. And so when Paul went into a new place, the best place to find a group of people that you want to talk to about the Lord would be the synagogue. And so that's where he went. Now look in Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews, now notice, and also of the Greeks, believed. So you see, the fact that he went into the synagogue does not mean necessarily that he was only going to a Jewish congregation every time he went somewhere. So when he says to the Jew first, and people say to the Jew first, they get the idea that his ministry was primarily to the Jews. But in these synagogues, it was not just Jews. There were a lot of Greeks there. And those gatherings, as we said, was primarily to read the law, read Moses. If you come to Acts chapter 15 and verse 21, Acts chapter 15 and verse 21, "For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." So as the Apostle Paul went to the cities and he wanted to find some people to preach to and teach to, the first place he went was a synagogue. And the synagogues were where the Jews would meet, and they would read the law of Moses. And they were also, as we said, other folks there. Now come over to Acts chapter 17, and let's read the first four verses. Acts chapter 17 and verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks," you see, here again we got Greek out, "a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." But verse 5 says, "But the Jews which believed not." That's always the problem, the Jews that don't believe. But I want you to notice that Paul's manner is to go to the synagogues, because that's where people are interested in, the Scriptures, are interested in finding out about God. And you know, you and I today, if we went into a town and we wanted to worship or something, we would look up a church, wouldn't we? Hoping we could find the right one. And even if we found the wrong one, we might want to associate ourselves with it a little bit to try to give them some truth. And so the Apostle Paul, though, remember, is the first thing he's got to do is to affirm to that Jew that the man that they killed, the man that they crucified, was their Messiah. He was the Christ. And so that's his first job, okay? In verse 10, same chapter now, Acts chapter 17 and verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Verse 17, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue of the Jews, and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met him." Acts chapter 18. Point I'm trying to make is that, yes, Paul goes to the synagogues. And he talked about it was necessary for the message to be spoken to the Jew first. What we want to do is try to establish why he's going to these synagogues and what he means by the issue of the Jew first as far as the message is concerned. Acts chapter 18 and verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 18 verses 4 and 5. "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." Verse 5, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." Now, we're establishing the fact Paul goes to the synagogues. We're establishing the fact that in the synagogues there's Jews and there's Gentiles. And we're establishing the fact that Paul is preaching Christ, that he is the Son of God and that he is raised from the dead. As I told you all along as we went through the book of Acts, the biggest problem that the Jew had with Paul was the issue of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, they deny he is Christ, but then to come around and affirm that he was the Christ and that he's raised from the dead, that really upsets the Jew tremendously. The Apostle Paul, as he gets to Jerusalem, come over to Acts chapter 24. He has to defend himself because some of the Jews accuse him of things he's not guilty of. As he goes into those synagogues, yes, he confirms that Jesus is the Christ and so forth, and he actually teaches some other things, but the one thing Paul is careful to do is to never never downplay the word of God. Because to those Jews, the circumcision apostles there in Jerusalem and in the area around, remember that they still have the message of the kingdom. And that's still going on. And Paul doesn't go to the area where those brothers are at. He does not go in there and try to convert them over. That was not his job. Those men were secure, by the way, in their belief, as we've said before. And so when Paul gets to Jerusalem, he's accused of doing some things like that, you know, of sedition and heresy and so forth. So he has to make a defense about that. Notice what he says there in Acts 24, verses 12 through 15. Paul says, "And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and having hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So again, Paul affirms before even Festus here in Jerusalem that he is not teaching something other than what those Jews knew to be the truth about the law of Moses and so forth, and he does not teach anything other than the fact that he does teach that Jesus was the Christ and he was raised from the dead, and that's what they call heresy. So he confessed that he was a heretic in that sense. So, but Paul teaches that Jesus is the Christ and he's raised from the dead. That's his message as he goes into these synagogues. And that's a message you've got to start with the Jew, but also it's where you start with the Gentiles. But also he talks about the issue that several times he talks about the issue of being called into account of these Jews for the hope of Israel. The things he says he's been called into account for is the hope of Israel. And it's this thing that leads people to think that, well, he must have been preaching the kingdom gospel. Because we know that the nation of Israel's long-range hope out there was a kingdom, wasn't it? But to have the kingdom, there are three things you have to have. You have to have the people. You have to have a nation of people, a group of people. You have to have a land, and you've got to have the king. Well, they had the people, and they had the promise of the land, which they were not occupying at this time. But really, their great hope was the coming of their Messiah, or their king, because he had five functions as a person coming to the nation of Israel. He was to be their redeemer, and their deliverer, and their savior, and their avenger, and their blesser. He was to be all these things to them. So they looked for him to come and to deliver them from all of their problems. And he come in a wrong way, but anyway, for them. And the thing is that this was what Israel's hope was this coming of this person. And they were let down because, number one, they didn't study the scriptures, and they were not aware of the time. They should have known when he was to appear, but somehow they missed that because they were so steeped in their religion and apostasy, like so many in the world today. But what really is this Israel's hope? You know, it's real clear what it is. If you'll turn back to the book of Jeremiah for just a moment, let me show you two passages of scripture where Jeremiah talks about that hope that Israel has. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 8. Jeremiah 14 verse 8 says, "O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night?" The hope of Israel, Savior. So that's what Paul says. That's what I'm being charged with. That's the problem I've got. It's the hope of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 17, it says it like this. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 13 and 14. Jeremiah says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because thou hast forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." This was what Israel's hope was the coming of their Savior, their Redeemer, their Deliverer, the one that was going to heal their land and put them back into that land and give them that kingdom that they had enjoyed back there under David and Solomon, but even more so under the Lord Jesus Christ. A great time for them. So Paul is as I said, is teaching all through the book of Acts that Luke records for us, is the issue of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people want to teach something today that we find right here is that we totally disagree with, and that is that, well, actually, any of the people that were saved during this time here when Paul was teaching, whether they were Jews or Gentiles, were actually considered to be spiritual Jews. And I know you've heard that taught today because they teach that the Gentiles become part of Israel and become spiritual Jews then. Well, that's just not the Bible, and it's not our message today. We're not looking for a king to come back. We're not looking for a synagogue to go to. We're not looking for a temple on this earth to go to. We're not looking for any of those things like that. God's message for us today through the Apostle Paul is real clear, and it's totally different from that. When you talk about the synagogues and the place and the temples that they hold so high in regard for, the Apostle Paul never once uses the word synagogue. Not one time. But he does use another word. I want you to come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. He has a word for a place that you and I reside to worship the Lord and have fellowship with Him. And it's in the body of Christ, and it's actually us. We are the body of Christ today. We are the temple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 says this, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So the issue today is not a place on this earth to worship, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that they are the Holy Ghost and the temple of God, and we have a residence in the heavens, and so we're not looking for these things. So all the messages in the book of Acts that are recorded in the book of Acts is to the nation of Israel about that kingdom and about the Lord coming back here and doing those things. Now, I know we have a lot of things that we've went through in here is recording about the Apostle Paul. But the doctrines that the Apostle Paul preaches, really you've got to go to his writings to find what they are. Now, what Paul does not teach the Jew first. What does he not teach about the Jew first? He is, number one, Paul is not under Israel's program of the kingdom. If Paul was preaching the kingdom message to the Jew first, then Paul would be totally different than what I picture him as in the Bible. Apostle Paul was a totally unique apostle to the Gentiles. But if he was an apostle that was teaching the kingdom gospel, then he would have to be under Israel's program. And he would have to be part of that program. And I know a lot of people teach that today. They teach that he should have been that 12th apostle. So they want to put him right in there with those apostles and make all the way through the book of Acts, he's just continuing to teach the same message that those 12 apostles have been teaching, but he is not doing that. I want you to come back and look at some things that is so clear, and I know you know these things, but let's run through them right quick. Matthew chapter 10. If the Apostle Paul was part of the kingdom gospel, part of those apostles, then he would have to be doing some of these things. And doing what he did in the book of Acts, this won't work. In Matthew chapter 10, when the Lord commissioned his apostles, he sent them out, he says in verses 5 and 6, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So Paul couldn't have went out here to these Gentile cities at this time. He couldn't have done that because if he was under the kingdom program, he has to go by the rules of the kingdom. He has to go by the things that the Lord has said has to happen first. There is an order for all of these things that has to take place. So Paul didn't fit under those things. For instance, in Matthew chapter 15, again, a passage you're familiar with, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 15, verses 25 through 27. You remember about the Gentile woman, the Syrophoenician woman that come to the Lord that wanted the healing, wanted the help. And so, and verse 25 through 27, just to make it real short there. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet, or it's not suitable, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, what is she saying? A lot of people don't really even understand that. But she acknowledges what the Lord said. The Lord has said that the children, that's the nation of Israel, they are supposed to go to the table, they are supposed to be filled, they are supposed to receive the blessings, and the nation of Israel is to be put in place as the nation on this earth under the Lord Jesus Christ. They're His people, and it's through them that the Gentiles get their blessings. That's what she's acknowledging. Yea, Lord, but the crumbs that fall from the table, you know. And so she was talking about the leftover blessings from the nation of Israel that the Gentiles could get. Well, Paul is going out preaching that there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. So he couldn't have been preaching the kingdom gospel. Another reason he couldn't have been preaching the kingdom gospel is because, again, of the order, the nation of Israel has to be filled. The children have to be filled. And you have to begin at a particular place for this to be done. In Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, in verses 44 through 48. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 48. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoveth Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Beginning at Jerusalem. In other words, the nation of Israel are those children that have to be filled. The message goes out to the nation of Israel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, when did the nation of Israel get filled? When did something happen to the nation of Israel that would allow the Apostle Paul to go out and to begin to preach that gospel? Well, the truth of the matter is, nothing ever happened. The nation of Israel did not repent. The children have not been filled. So come back to the end of Acts again, Acts chapter 28. And let's ask ourselves here, is there something that happens here at the end of Acts chapter 28 that would allow the Apostle Paul now to begin to preach this message, whatever message we're talking about? You know the message that he was called to preach, but anyway, most people teach the, you know, really teach that he preached the same message as the 12 and so forth. But notice what he says there in Acts chapter 28, verse 25 through 28. And when they agreed not among themselves, that's the Jews now, the Apostle Paul had been teaching here all day or for a day or two, whatever. And they agreed not among themselves. They departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Paul had got down to the point where he's going to quote another passage of Scripture over in Isaiah. That's right up their alley. It describes them to a T. He says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are full of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now notice what Isaiah said. Then he says, be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. As the Apostle Paul says right now, here's what you're doing. You're fulfilling Isaiah. You stopped up your ears. You can't see with your eyes. You're blinded. Some teach this passage of Scripture as being judicial blindness placed on the nation of Israel. And at this point in time, Paul says, now the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. New Bibles want to change that around a little bit and word it a little differently, but it's real clear what it is. The salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. The question is, when was it sent to the Gentiles? Second question is when was this passage of Scripture fulfilled? When was the nation of Israel blinded? When did they turn away from the Lord? Well, here in Acts chapter 28, folks, is not really where it's at. Israel's not repenting here, and so therefore, however Paul is operating under any kind of a kingdom commission, he can't go to the Gentiles. So is God, at this time now in Acts 28, is God sending him to the Gentiles with the mystery program because Israel is blinded? Well, again, some people teach that, yes, this is when he begins to teach the mystery program and get out there with the Gentiles. Well, let me ask you this question. When is Israel blinded? When is Israel set aside? When is Israel cast away from God as far as dealing with them anymore? And he hasn't. Is it right here in Acts chapter 28? I want you to come back and look at some scriptures. I don't know how we're doing on our time, but anyway, I want you to come back to Matthew chapter 13. I want you to look at some scriptures that has to do with, remember that this passage of scripture in Acts is what Isaiah wrote way back there. It's a prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. Was going to come a time when they were not going to see with their eyes and not going to hear with their ears, and they were not going to believe. And so some say, well, right here in Acts 28 is when that's fulfilled. Well, let me ask you about these scriptures. Explain these to me. In Matthew chapter 13 and verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Oh my. Well, here we've got the fulfilling of Isaiah, haven't we? So can it be here, and can it be over in Acts 28 also? Well, it's fulfilled in both places, but it's fulfilled earlier than Acts 28. All right, here the Lord talks about this. But I want you to notice some other things that he actually says about it. Come over to Mark chapter 4 about this prophecy made by Isaiah. Mark chapter 4 and verses 9 through 12. Mark chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, it's clear in the two passages of Scripture the Lord is telling him that the nation of Israel is in a state of unbelief and blindness, and he's not going to teach them something other than in parables. And parables are not designed to give you a simple little material story so you can understand a spiritual strength. That's not it at all. The parable was designed so that the fulfilling of this right here would take place. They could see, but they couldn't understand. They could hear, but they didn't understand. So they would not be saved. So the nation of Israel is right here, has already been predicted by the Lord as to fulfilling Isaiah, that they're not going to see. John chapter 12 says it in a very unique way. I want you to look at John chapter 12 and verse 35. John chapter 12 and verse 35. John chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light. Now you know who the light is, don't you? Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now notice that. But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. He goes far enough here to let you know that he's blinded them so that they couldn't. So we don't go over to Acts 28 to find the nation of Israel blinded and find a change taking place. No, we find that much earlier. We find in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find the kingdom being taken away from them and given them to a little flock. That little flock there led by the 12 apostles. But now the nation of Israel is still given the opportunity to repent. But they won't repent. So what is going to happen? Well, remember again that when you get to Acts 28, the Apostle Paul has already sent a letter to the Roman church over there. And when they get there, they can read and have read this letter, I'm sure. And I want you to notice a passage that they know by now. Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11 and verses 7 through 12. Romans chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. What has Paul already told the Roman church over there about the condition of the nation of Israel and what's happened to them? Notice what he says. What then? Verse 7. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. The spirit of slumber. Eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. Now, we've got a description of the nation of Israel falling and the Gentiles receiving salvation because of their fall. Now, the question is, where did they fall? Did they fall back there during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he talked about them being blinded and fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah? Don't think so. Well, did they fall in Acts chapter 2 and he began to church the body of Christ there? I don't think so. Well, what happened that caused the nation of Israel to fall? The nation of Israel committed the unpardonable sin. The nation of Israel had been given the chance through the ministry of John the Baptist, God the Father. They'd been given the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, and they crucified him. The Holy Spirit ministry is given to them through Stephen, and they jump on him and they kill him. They stone him to death. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So at that point in time, the nation of Israel falls. So if they fall in Acts chapter 7 and 8 along in there, what are we talking about when we get over to Acts chapter 28? Well, what we're talking about when we get over here is the Apostle Paul is just stating something other than that has already taken place. He's telling them clearly that they have reached that state where they are blinded. They don't know what's going on. And that's already taken place. Okay? So he says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent. Not is being sent, or not will be sent, but it is sent. See that? Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Well, they have the gospel been sent to them through the Apostle Paul. I contend that the Apostle Paul, from Acts chapter 9, began his ministry to the Gentiles. But as in he went into every town, he went into the synagogue where the Jew and the Gentile was at. The only place he did not go, and he went there one time for a very short period of time, 15 days, he went to Jerusalem to the temple. And he was only there 15 days, and the Lord says, get out. That's not what I sent you to do. I sent you to the Gentiles. So when God called Saul of Tarsus on that road, come back to Acts chapter 9 for just a moment. He sent him to some people, and the Lord tells him clearly who it is. And he doesn't say, later I'm going to do this. He does at some point in time, I'm going to do this. But he says this, Acts chapter 9, verse 15. He says, "But the Lord said unto me, Go thy way." Now Ananias is telling Saul here what the Lord said to him. "For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." He is to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. We've gone through Acts and we've seen that happen. We've seen that done. One more time, over in Acts chapter 26, where the Apostle Paul gives an account of this very thing before King Agrippa. And he says it like this, Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things, or these things, which thou hast seen, and of those things into which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Unto whom now I send thee. Paul's talking about his conversion on the Damascus Road here. Verse 18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me." The Apostle Paul, from day one, understood he was to go to the Gentiles. And he wanted to go to both, I'm sure. And he did. But the fact that every time he went into a synagogue does not mean that he went in there to preach to the Jew first and to preach the kingdom message. Because he didn't do that. There's just no record of that. He went in there and he affirmed Jesus was the Christ and he was raised from the dead. And if he got any further, he went on with the message that he got. Now, we know when we read Paul's writings in Galatians and Thessalonians, his very first epistles back in there. I believe Galatians is one of his first epistles. I know that he dealt with the issue of what his message is. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul, until he gets to Rome and he writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, he writes those epistles, we don't get some information about the mystery about the church body of Christ. We've got some bits and pieces of it. We've understood in his very first epistle about the rapture of the church. So we know that this, he teaches a distinct church and not the kingdom of heaven. So the Apostle Paul has been teaching those things as the Lord had given it to him. And I know again, I don't know why it is that so many want to say Paul went to the Jew first all the time. And I think the fact that he went into the synagogue does not qualify him to be going to the Jew first and preaching the gospel of the kingdom by no stretch of the imagination. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the time we've had tonight to open up your word. Lord, we pray for understanding. The more we study it, the more we realize we need to study it, the more we need to understand, the more we'd like to know. And so help us, Lord, as we do understand it, to be able then to go out and to share it with others. Most of all, that we might see souls saved, and then the other folks come to the knowledge of the truth. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake we pray. Amen.